from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it is Friday. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. Well, a lot going on out there. Just a lot of things that are capturing our attention. You know, I want to start out real quick. Say something about this whole Jeffrey Epstein nonsense. I know President Trump is very upset that Republicans are focusing on this, and the president has made his opinion pretty clear. And the president has, well, I'll get to what the president had to say in just a moment. But, you know, the president calling this all the Epstein hoax. And for whatever reason, Pam Bondi did not want to release the Epstein files. They were on her desk. They've been on her desk for, what, 9 months now, 10 months? 11 months. 11 months now. They were sitting on her desk. But anyway, this is all a lot of political theater, and it's really a great big nothing burger, and I want to explain why. So the Democrats had control of the Epstein files for 4 years during the Biden administration. A lot of stuff, a lot of very bad stuff about Donald Trump, allegations, a lot of nasty allegations were leaked throughout the Trump administration or throughout the Biden administration. It's very well documented. No need to revisit all of that. No need to rehash any of that. But they never leaked anything out of the Epstein files. They could have released the files, but they did not. And the reason why is very clear. There's nothing that is going to hurt President Trump in those files. I mean, there may be some embarrassing things or uncomfortable things or whatever, but there's nothing criminal in there. And if there had been something criminal, it would have already been leaked, or it would have just been released by the Biden Justice Department. I have absolutely no doubt about that. So I'm really not quite sure why all the hullabaloo, unless President Trump is concerned that maybe some of his friends, some of the people he knows may be in there. Maybe the president's trying to help them save face. I don't know. But when you're out on the campaign trail and you're saying that you're going to release the Epstein files, you got to release the Epstein files. You just got to do it. And again, all of this could have been prevented had the administration done what they said they were going to do in the first place. This could have been released Inauguration Day. And it would have made some headlines, and then everybody would have forgotten about it. But now it's a big political mess and it's political theater. But the president is throwing in a little bit of a curveball here, and the president writing on Truth Social, now that the Democrats are using the Epstein hoax involving Democrats, not Republicans, to try and deflect from their disastrous shutdown and all their other failures, I will be asking AG Pam Bondi and the Department of Justice, together with our great patriots at the FBI, to investigate Jeffrey Epstein's involvement and relationship with, brace yourself, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, Reid Hoffman, J.P. Morgan, Chase, and many other people and institutions to determine what was going on with them and him. This is another Russia, Russia, Russia scam with all arrows pointing to the Democrats. Records show that these men and many others spent large portions of their life with Epstein and on his island. Stay tuned. Yeah, I love this. I think this is brilliant. And again, we've been pretty clear on this program. We're a black and white show. Black and white show. Release it all. If somebody did something wrong, they should pay the price. They should suffer the consequences. I mean, it really is that simple to me. Maybe it might be too simple for some of you, but that's just the way I see things. I don't care if they're a Republican or a Democrat. If you are messing around with a poor little child, a young girl underage, you deserve the death penalty in my book. That's what I say. But look, here's the deal. The reason why conservatives want the Epstein files released, it's because we demand justice for the victims. But the Democrats, they don't care about the victims. They're just hoping there's something in those files that might hurt Donald Trump. Not once have the Democrats, not a single Democrat, have they ever said anything about the victims of Jeffrey Epstein. Not at all, ladies and gentlemen. Not at all. So that's what's going on with the Epstein nonsense. It's a load of hooey, and it's political theater. The administration, and again, this is all on the Justice Department. They should have released this a very long time ago, and every single day they delay, it makes it seem like something it is not. And I just don't get it. It's some of the actions taken by the administration. It's just beyond me right now. So anyway, we had we were talking this week and yesterday specifically about the H-1B visas, and President Trump is doubling down. There are lines being drawn among conservatives on this, and some people are saying that we have to have these tens of thousands of foreign students here because we've had a brain drain and that Americans are not smart enough to do a lot of jobs that need to be done. So therefore, we need to bring in the foreigners because somebody from, I don't know, Uzbekistan might be a better programmer than some guy from, I don't know, Birmingham, Alabama. I don't think so, but that's what people are saying out there. But again, the way this is all being framed in the media and by the Republican Party and the Trump administration, like these countries are sending the best and the brightest. No, they're not. They're sending over people to work at 7-Eleven. That's what's going on here. So of all people, CBS on 60 Minutes, they actually did. And by the way, all of this came, if you want to know about the whole H-1B scandal, this all started under George H.W. Bush. These rhino establishment pro-big business conservative Republicans, and they're not conservatives, they're liberal Republicans, they're establishment Republicans, they want the cheap labor. So they're bending over for big business, and that means that the middle class in this country gets hosed. I'm trying to keep it clean today. It's a Friday, you know? I'm trying to be cordial, family friendly. Anyway, I want you to listen. This is a fascinating back and forth on these so-called H-1B visa holders, the best and the brightest, replacing American workers. Take a listen.
The H-1B visa bill was written in 1990. It lets companies recruit foreign talent for emerging engineering and scientific jobs. But loopholes allow for outsourcing of American jobs to foreign workers, often at lower pay. Bill Whitaker spoke to some Americans displaced by H-1B visa workers for Sunday 60 Minutes. They say they were asked to train workers who would take their jobs.
It wasn't called training your replacement. It was called knowledge transfer.
Craig D'Angelo worked for Northeast Utilities, now called Eversource, and was one of 220 IT workers replaced by H-1B visa employees. D'Angelo says his replacement, a worker from India, told him he was making half D'Angelo's salary with no benefits.
I didn't get laid off for lack of work. I got laid off because somebody cheaper could do my job.
We met with this group of workers who all had to train replacements. Leo Pereiro had just received high performance reviews from Disney. When he was called into a personnel meeting, he expected a raise and a promotion.
And instead,
I was given the news that in 90 days, my job was over, and I had to train my replacement. Never in my life did I imagine, until this happened at Disney, that I could be sitting at my desk and somebody would be flown in from another country,
right,
sit at my same desk and chair and take over what I was doing. It was the most humiliating and demoralizing thing I've ever gone through in my life.
Bill Whitaker is with us. So how do companies explain this?
Well, the companies will all tell you that this is standard industrial procedure for helping to boost efficiency and lower costs. But I will say in the case of Disney there, CEO Bob Iger did say that having his employees train their replacements was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And that he feels sorry for that and he apologized for that. Mm-hmm. But those employees, most of them were still out of work.
Yeah. I mean, how has the H-1B visa program changed? Is it being misused?
It was put in place to help American companies get the best global talent,
right.
You know, to be able to bring somebody from a foreign country if you couldn't find that employee here in the U.S. But there are loopholes in the law that allow the companies to go out and get someone who's not especially a special engineer or employee, but someone who's cheaper.
Mm.
And so you're able to bring in these foreign workers who are here primarily because they cost less than the American.
But I love the phrase knowledge transfer bill. I think that's
how about very, that? Yeah, great euphemism, huh?
Very good euphemism. Are there any plans to close the loopholes
in Congress?
Well, there are a number of bills being discussed in Congress. One in the Senate is a little further along than the others, but so far, no movement on that.
Is there one country in particular where most of these H-1B visas are granted?
Most of the H-1B visa workers are coming from India. And I would just like to say 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would like to say that over the past few weeks, we've had a number of violent incidents with Americans shooting Indian workers.
Yes.
One was killed and saying, get out of our country, stop taking our jobs, that sort of thing. The Indian workers will tell you that when they were recruited, they thought they were these special employees. They were coming over here to fill jobs that nobody else could fill. They had no idea that they were coming over to be cheap labor. And to a man and woman, the American workers we talk to say they have no animosity towards the Indian workers. They feel that they are being exploited by the system just as the American workers are. Yeah.
All right, there you go. Even 60 Minutes, to their credit, actually explained what's really going on when it comes to these H-1B visas. And I understand where the administration is coming from. It looks as though they are delivering on some maybe campaign promises they made to big business and the tech industry, the Silicon Valley. But the reality is the American people deserve those jobs first. And I would challenge you. I just want to know what sort of jobs. You know, the president's out there saying, well, there are some jobs that Americans are just not qualified to do. I'd like to know what those jobs are. What about you? All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Friends, here's a reality check. Your biggest retirement expense likely isn't groceries or health care. It's taxes. Add inflation eating away at your dollar, and it's easy to see why so many run out of money. Lassiter Capital helps solve that problem by giving you access to real estate investments designed to generate income, protect against inflation, and provide huge tax advantages. Founder Ty Lassiter calls it the four keys to investment success. Visit LassiterCapital.com/Starnes or call 817-912-1569 to schedule your free consultation. All right, I have a question for you, and this is going to require some homework on your part, which means picking up the phone and calling in, because I have a question for all of you grocery shoppers out there. Are you someone who goes grocery shopping? Are you the grocery shopper in your household? You know, Dylan, it's interesting. Some families actually have a designated person that does the shopping. It's either the husband or the wife.
Yeah, we do, and it's not me.
Oh, it's not you.
Terrible grocery shopper.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm like a kid. Like, if it gets caught in my eye, I probably will try to get it, and then my wife slaps my hand like a kid. She's like, no, we can't afford it.
So President Trump has put out a statement, and he's talking about inflation. He said grocery store prices are going down, and I'm wondering if that is in fact the case. Are you fine people out there? Are you discovering that grocery prices are going down? Yes or no? Give us a call, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. So President Trump writing on Truth Social, and he says, cost and inflation were far higher under the sleepy Joe Biden administration than they are now. In fact, cost under the Trump administration are tumbling down, helped greatly by gasoline and energy. Affordability is a lie when used by the Dems. It is a complete con job. The president says Thanksgiving costs are 25% lower this year than last under Crooked Joe. We are the party of affordability. So I'm just curious, is that an accurate assessment? You're out there just get real for a moment. President Trump is not grocery shopping with Melania at the Piggly Wiggly. That's not happening, right? So he's unaware, and he's relying on other people to bring him information. And so I am just curious, ladies and gentlemen, are you seeing those low prices that President Trump is talking about at the grocery stores? Now, I want to say something about the economy, because this needs, and this needs to be coming from the White House. But in very simple terms, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that our country was broken. Our country was on life support. And then we flatlined. Donald Trump gets elected, and he's bringing the country back to life. Now, let me just say this. Years ago, I had open heart surgery, and for a time I was on life support. And then I came off of life support. I'm in the critical care unit, the cardiac critical care unit of the hospital. And I was there for about 2 weeks. And then I went to a private room, and then I eventually went home where I convalesced and got better. You know, it's interesting. My heart was healed immediately after the surgery was complete, but it took months to recuperate from the surgery. Months. And that's what's happening here. President Trump is fixing the problems, fixing what is broken with the heart of the country right now, economically speaking, and it is going to take time for all of that to kick in. So let's go to Texas right now. Alan, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Alan, tell me, what are you seeing at the grocery store?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Todd. Yeah, I'm a little biased. 45 years in the food business, grew up in the grocery business, but I'm kind of keen on pricing and stuff. In my opinion, prices have gone down much better than they were during the 4 years of sure. And prices, inflation is still impacting everything quite substantially. Unfortunately, about food, like everything else, pricing is dictated against freight. Cost of freight's high, the food prices are going to be higher. Prices on fuel has gone down, but we're still well over $2 a gallon in the area that I live in. And to really get the prices where I think the American people feel the relief from it, Trump's going to need to get the gas prices down a lot better. Overall, I believe they have gone down. Eggs are a lot better. Meat continues to be high. Cost of staple goods, canned goods, sugar, flour, that kind of stuff, gone down. But they're still high compared to what they were pre-COVID.
Alan, look, I appreciate that honesty there, and again, it's not where we want it to be, but we're not even into the first year of the Trump presidency just yet, and if prices are already starting to come down, here's what I think is happening here, Alan, and I appreciate your call. We're coming up on a break here, my friend. Here's what I think is happening. Democrats are freaking out because they see the trajectory. They're seeing what the economy is going to look like maybe by next summertime, then as we go into the fall. And they realize that the economy is going to be great and the economy is going to be booming. Those prices are going to be coming down as a result of the president's policies. And that could impact the midterm elections. Well, it will. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. What are you seeing at the supermarket? We'll be right back, everybody. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton, queen 1798, kings only $19.98. Also, for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. Well, this is an interesting story. Out of Seattle, they've finally finished counting the votes, and they've got a new mayor. Her name is Katie Wilson, and this gal is really interesting. So she is she's a socialist, and she's been pretty clear about her position on things like President Trump. She's going to make Seattle a Trump-free zone, whatever that means. She's going to implement government-funded grocery stores, and she's replacing the police department as well. And she's basically a female version of Zohran Mamdani. Really strange. You know, it's also interesting that this woman had not held a full-time job of any consequence. She had not actually started earning a living until she was in her mid-30s, and she's running a nonprofit. No, I've got nothing against nonprofits. I'm just saying she hasn't held a job. I mean, that's her full-time job, is begging for other people's money. I mean, that's technically what a nonprofit is, right? That's what NPR does, right? PBS. Beg for other people's money. So anyway, it turns out that part of her platform was that her mommy and daddy were actually helping pay her bills, which is kind of weird now that she's in her 40s. So she's in her 40s. Her husband doesn't work. He's one of those soy boy types. And she's now giving them the credit for her big election victory over the Democrat incumbent there of Seattle. This woman is going to radically change Seattle. Anyway, CNN's Aaron Burnett actually took her to task on the channel yesterday, cut number 6.
So obviously, you just mentioned some of the words that here in New York, we heard a lot from the mayor-elect here, Zohran Mamdani, right? When you talk about affordability. But the word echoes don't end there, mayor-elect. Let me play some of them.
The very clear twin crises of affordability.
We are facing an affordability crisis.
Truly affordable homes.
An affordable homeownership.
This city is your city.
This isn't their city. It's yours.
A new generation of leadership.
We can see with our own eyes that we need new leadership.
I mean, we sometimes will put what we call a montage together like that, mayor-elect. It doesn't get easier than that one. I mean, it really does sound you sound so much alike. I guess I'm just curious. Have you ever met him? Have you talked to each other at all since either of your victories, which are so important on coast to coast?
Not yet, although I certainly hope to. You know, and it's funny because when I decided to run in this race, which was in February of this year, I'd never heard of Zohran Mamdani. And so it was a fun process over the first few months of my campaign to start getting text messages from friends. Oh, you got to check out this guy in New York City. And so I really do think it's remarkable and also makes a lot of sense, right? I think that there are some similar conditions playing out here in Seattle to New York. You know, obviously the affordability crisis being a big one. And yeah, there's some very similar dynamics, and I'm really excited to have a coast-to-coast partnership on driving forward this vision of an affordable city.
This is going to be insanely horrifying, and my thoughts and prayers are with the right-leaning people of Seattle. You guys are in for a really rough ride here, but one of the things that she plans on doing is, and again, this is just outright weird. She says that she's going to Trump-proof her city. Now, we don't know what that means or how that's going to play out. I'm sure President Trump is going to have something to say about that as well. But regardless, we now have another major American city controlled by the socialist. And this is a very dangerous trend. We're watching socialists being elected to Congress. We're watching socialists being elected on the local level. And we ought to pay very close attention to what's driving young Americans into the arms of socialism. Now, the White House is playing hardball on this issue, no doubt about it. And President Trump has already, he is set in his mind that there is not an affordability issue in America, that the economy is great and it's getting better. And if you disagree, then you are wrong. You're fired. I'm just telling you, that's how he's thinking about this. But just step back for a moment, and I want you to think back to when you were in your early 20s, still trying to figure out what kind of a person you are, what your political leanings are. That may even take a little bit of time. But you've got a degree here, and you've got this college degree, and it's a good degree, and you're looking for a job, and you can't find a job. As a matter of fact, hundreds of thousands of young Americans with bachelor's degrees cannot find jobs right now. And it's a big problem. You've got all of these folks coming in from other countries, hundreds of thousands of them, hundreds of thousands. They're getting jobs, but you're not as an American. As a matter of fact, here's some stats. In 2024, last year, 2.1 million students actually graduated with a bachelor's degree. So I don't know what that degree was in. It could have been in science. It could have been in lesbian literature. I don't know. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports only 868,000 were actually employed by October of 2024. Do you understand? Less than half of the people that have bachelor's degrees who graduated in 2024 actually have jobs. Meanwhile, the administration approved nearly 400,000 H-1B visas. 60% of Gen Z could not find a job. 60%. And yet you've got nearly 400,000 foreigners who took those jobs that could have gone to America. And what is the answer? Well, the answer is to give us 50 years to pay off our mortgages. Are you kidding me? Is that really the answer? So if you're a young person and you're hearing these arguments and you're sitting here going, you're telling me that I may have to spend 50 years paying off my house? Is that what you're telling me? Or that I may just have to suck it up and take two or three jobs just to make ends meet? Is that what you're telling me? And that's what we're telling them. That's what we're telling them right now, folks, to suck it up. We're telling that entire demographic to suck it up and deal with it. I don't know if that's a good strategy, because on the other side, you've got Santa Claus. And Santa Claus is saying, we're going to give you free groceries. We're going to give you a free place to stay. We're going to give you free bus fare. We're going to give you. And if I'm a 21 or 22-year-old and you're dirt poor broke, you got nowhere to go, that looks mighty enticing to a young person. And you know why it looks enticing to a young person? Because we're no longer teaching civics in many American schools. We're no longer teaching kids about the dangers of socialism. It looks like a beautiful, shiny new penny that they don't make anymore. It looks beautiful and enticing, but it is incredibly deadly and never, ever works. But if you're a young person and you see this and you have no context, yeah, I get it. I completely understand why New York City and now Minneapolis have socialist mayors. And I suspect until we can figure out the narrative on this and how to talk about this issue with young people, we're going to continue to lose votes. I think that's where we're at right now. So we've got to figure that out. May I ask a question here? And someone actually asked me this question yesterday. I said, you know, that's a good question. I thought I'd share it with you. This person wondered if one of the things happening in the White House now is that Charlie Kirk is no longer whispering into the president's ear, that Charlie did have influence. And Charlie was able to convey the political mood of the country to the president in a way that nobody else could. Or is that giving too much credit to Charlie Kirk? I don't know. But something is off in the White House. It's just, it has been, and it's been that way since Charlie's assassination. So I don't know if that's it or not, but there isn't really a single voice speaking out for the culture. Now, say what you want to about Charlie. There are a lot of people, even among conservatives, that had issues with Charlie, and that's fine. But I will say this. I do believe that his heart was always in the right place, and I think his heart was for this country, and that he wanted young people to have those conversations. You know what I'm seeing right now? I'm seeing a lot of grifters trying to be the next Charlie Kirk, and it's just not working. It's not. And instead of conversations, you're having these conservatives showing up on college campuses trying to, I don't know, instigate some sort of a scene so they can get their TikTok video so they can get invited on Fox News. That's what I think is going on. And it seems like within the conservative world as a whole right now, it's just a little murky. You've got the whole Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Megyn Kelly thing. And keep in mind, none of those people were actually true conservatives. They've been all over the place on their politics, all over the place. But you've got all these voices out there now that are competing for your attention. And they realize that there's big money in conservatism, so they want to be the biggest, baddest, fake conservative out there. That's my take on this. But I am curious, do you think that Charlie's assassination has really set the conservative movement off? Is it just off kilter now? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I mean, it's something's not right. Something is off. We've got to figure out what that is. Let's go to Rick in Cummings, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Rick. What's on your mind today?
Hi, sir. I just want to call and comment about why all the foreigners getting jobs versus the Americans, sir.
Why do you think that is, Rick?
Oh, it's not why do I think it is. It's what I see. It's what's been ingrained into our people today. They don't want to work. If you go into any foreign business, you'll see nothing but foreigners there, because the Americans want to stand around and talk on the phone, lean on the broom, and don't want to work while they get everything free from the government. That's why, sir.
So you've seen this firsthand, Rick?
All over America. You see it yourself. You go anywhere and just look around. You see it. It's everywhere. It's in your family. It's in every family. And if I'm wrong, prove me wrong. Let's go to work, America. Wake up.
Yeah. I go back to the China virus, the plantemic, and I'm telling you, Rick, that was meant to destroy this nation. And one of the first things they got rid of was the American work ethic. They told people to stay home, shut down your small businesses, and wait for a check from Uncle Sam.
Right. And the epidemic's been on for 5 years now, and we're still leaning on the broom. Mm. We're still afraid to work. That's why they want all the, bless my brothers, Latinos to come back to America, because we don't want to work. I'm retired and retired and retired and retired. But I'm still out working, volunteering, mentoring, doing what I have to do to sustain and to stay healthy and stay in good shape and feel good about what I'm doing.
Rick, you're a good man. We're going to put it out there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for the call. Do you think, ladies and gentlemen, that Rick has a point that Americans are just lazy? Is that why? I'm not so sure about that. I mean, there is a component of the country that's lazy, but is that the overarching issue? Let's go to Danny in Selmer, Tennessee. Hi, Danny. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, sir. I could go on for hours about my thoughts on all this stuff, but I just have one simple rule of thumb that we could teach everyone, and they have to put their thinking caps on, but really one simple rule of thumb: nothing is free. Nothing in life is free. That's all anybody needs to know, because there's always a cost to it.
Well, there is. And every time I hear somebody here in Memphis, the mayor is giving free bus fare to the entire city. So if you're a citizen of Memphis, you get to ride the bus for free. I'm wondering who's paying for that free. Who's paying for that, Danny?
Nothing is free.
No, sir. No, right. That free lunch you and I are paying for. You and I are working hard. If you're working hard, if you are a hardworking American, and if you're just working a job right now, you ought to be enraged that people are sitting at home collecting thousands of dollars in food stamps for doing nothing. Able-bodied people that should be able to go out there and mow the grass or pick up garbage or fill a pothole, Danny, but they're not. They're mooching off the American people. That always makes me mad.
If you think it's free, those are the same people that think they're getting something for free. They're also the same people that demand respect.
Yep, there you go. All right, Danny, thank you for that call. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, a lot of folks wanting to weigh in on this topic, and we're going to keep the phone lines open through the break here. Let's go to Houston, Texas. Jess is on the line listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Jess, what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that I really do enjoy listening to your show, but the last 3 days, you've been on this same topic, a little bit of each segment, and I disagree. I raised two kids. It was tough for me to raise them to where they didn't want me to pay their bills. Young people in this country are lazy. The young people in this country, except for the few one percenters that are patriotic, they're lazy. When my son graduated with a bachelor's degree recently, he had 115 companies contact him to give him a job. I don't see it the way you're talking about it, but I do enjoy your show.
Well, no, Jess, look, I appreciate you disagreeing with me. I mean, if everybody just agreed all the time, it'd be a little boring, to be honest with you. But so what is the solution here? Is the solution to just bring more foreign workers into the country?
In my opinion, and here again, I'm not making any decisions, but in my opinion, the Department of Education has got to go. Local school districts have got to start teaching patriotism, geography, math, and science. And parents have got to start making their kids mow the grass for a dollar or for monetary value instead of what they're doing. Parents to this day and time are raising their kids to where they sit on the couch and play video games. We've got a huge problem in this country that I think it starts with the Department of Education.
Yeah, Jess, I would say this, and if you've been listening, you've heard me say the most important thing we've got to do is shut down that Department of Education. That has to be done. And if it doesn't, we've lost the country. I mean, that's just it. But honestly, it has to start before then. This is a mom and a dad issue. And you're right. We've got to start teaching our kids that, as one of a previous caller said, absolutely nothing is free. You got to work for it. You got to earn your keep in this country. Jess, you're a good man. Give us a holler back one of these days. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. We're going right to your calls. It is Open Line Friday here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
A growing number of Americans say they want to leave the country permanently. This is according to a new Gallup poll. 20% of people say they want to live somewhere else. That's 1 in 5. And the shift is mainly driven by young women ages 15 to 44. 40% of them say that they want to go. And
Martha and I texted about this last night because I'm thinking we've had an opportunity to travel many places around the world. To me, there is no better place in America. If you were born here, George Bush used to say, you won life's great lottery.
Exactly.
You're an educated American woman. Your ticket, you write it yourself, but people want to leave.
Yeah, you know, I think it's true. When you travel other places, which we both love to do, it's always fascinating, but then you're always glad to come home and you always appreciate the great things about this country. There's a lot of parallels in this group between the vote that we saw on Tuesday in New Jersey and in Virginia when you look at the age range. The other thing is that it doesn't ask, are you going to leave? Mm-hmm. It just says, basically it's like at a cocktail party, would you say, I really want to get out of here. I really want to leave the country. But they're not actually leaving the country. So it's just walk complaining, and there's a lot of Trump derangements.
They all
want to
be Emily in Paris.
Oh, yeah, but they want, and I think it's a protest.
Emily in New York.
It's a protest vote against the president, I think, because it traces right back to when he was nominated, you know? And so while you have so many young women at these turning point events, and the other side is thriving in a huge way, this group likes to, at least at cocktail parties, say that they want out. But I don't think they're going anywhere.
All right. That from Fox News, the gals over at Fox. So, look, I'm not surprised by these numbers. 20%, they say. 20%. And those are women. I say this. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. You know, if you really are unhappy here, this is a great thing about America. You can go wherever you want to go. You can be whatever you want to be. You can, if you want to go to Saudi Arabia and put on a burqa, and you just burqa till your heart's desire. But here's the problem. And unfortunately, this is not good news for all of us here in America. By the way, welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. But we've got some bad news about these numbers. These gals are wanting to get out of their feminazis, as El Rushbo used to call them. These feminazis, they hate America, they hate men, and they want out. And we should want them out because I think they would be happier. And ladies and gentlemen, we would be much more happy. I mean, these are the gals that don't shave their legs. You know the type. They got the purple hair. It's not a pretty picture. Not a pretty picture at all. But anyway, this is who they want to be. So let them be that somewhere else. But here's the problem. Nobody wants them. No other country on the face of the earth wants a feminazi. They just don't. As a matter of fact, we tried to give Rosie O'Donnell to Ireland, and that did not work out. They're like, no, there's not enough Guinness for us to drink to deal with that nonsense, so they sent her back. Return to sender. So anyway, I hate it for him, but maybe we could, I don't know, is it Rhode Island? Can we sacrifice? No, Miss Carlotta's in Rhode Island. What about Vermont? Can we just sequester all the feminazis in Vermont and sort of wall it off? Can we do that? Is that possible? Anyway, a lot going on this hour of the program. First of all, it is Open Line Friday, and that means you can actually call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. I want you to write our number down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, we had a caller from Texas, our Patriot Talk 920, great station, guy named Jess. And Jess took me to task, and he felt bad taking me to task. And I said, Jess, don't feel bad taking me to task. If you disagree with me, let's have a conversation. And we did. So anyway, Jess, thank you for calling in. I do want to go back to Patriot Talk 920. Mike is listening to us in Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike, what is on your mind today?
Oh, hello, hello. Thanks for taking my call. Last Friday, I was listening to a program, as usual, and you were talking about Charlie possibly being assassinated because he had presidential aspirations, maybe for 2028. With that in mind, could the person who receives Turning Point's endorsement have something to do with the assassination, whether directly or indirectly?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. And I'm Michael, let me ask you this. Let's start off with this. Where are you going with your question?
Oh, well, no, I'm just, well, okay. I had a comment afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam Giancana, the Chicago mob boss from the 50s and 60s, he said that if you ever want to know who's responsible for the hit, look at who benefits the most. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that someone in Turning Point or associated with a security detail. I'm not pointing a finger to anyone. I'm just saying, could the reason for Charlie being a staff?
Oh dear, I think we lost Mike. Mike, I'm sorry about that. Give us a call back here. But Mike, I'm going to try to answer your question as best I can. We have dipped our toe into the whole conspiracy theory about what happened, who killed Charlie, was it Israel, because there's a huge contingent that's blaming Israel, was it the CIA, was it a mob of transgender terrorists? I mean, it's running the gamut, folks. Was it even TPUSA? I mean, the accusations coming that it may have been even TPUSA staffers. I do not know. I don't think it was, but I just don't know. But what I can tell you is this. There's so much weird stuff going on around this investigation. The fact that the university immediately paved over and basically destroyed that entire area almost immediately. The fact that there was not crime scene tape put up immediately, that there was not ample security there, that there were not ambulances or anything else on standby, which there should have been for a massive gathering of that size. Just lots and lots of questions. And it may be, I mean, at the end of the day, it could very well be that some crazed lunatic shot and killed Charlie Kirk. I mean, it could be something that simple, or it may be something else. And, you know, Tucker Carlson, I don't want to get too far out of the way here on this, but Tucker yesterday put out a video, and he's suggesting that there's something much more sinister going on in Butler County, Pennsylvania, where we still know nothing about the guy who nearly shot and killed President Trump. And that, to me, is an even more egregious thing. But Tucker is asking some important questions. And again, Tucker is just all over the place. But every now and again, a blind squirrel is going to find a nut. And I think he may have found a nut here. But there's just a lot of information coming out, and we just aren't getting, I don't think we're getting the full story. And I, real quick, before we go to the phone lines here, I want to just share this with you. And this was compiled by one of our friends on X about Thomas Crooks, the guy that they're saying is the one who killed President Trump, or tried to kill President Trump. First of all, the assassin's house was professionally scrubbed. His home was scrubbed so well there wasn't even silverware left in the home. There was no footprint. The kid had no footprint on the internet. There was no social media footprint. It was completely wiped out. The guy turned out he was in a BlackRock commercial. Joe Rogan says some individuals inside BlackRock may have recognized that it's beneficial to them if he gets assassinated. There was never a formal report. Are you ready for this? And this is true. There was never a press conference where they detailed all the information they currently know and where the investigation stands at the moment. Anybody find that odd? He was a very young kid. There was a rangefinder used to measure distances. Very suspicious. CNN streamed it live, which Joe Rogan does not believe they did for any other rally for Trump. And certainly not for a rally that's in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. Is Butler County in nowhere, Pennsylvania? I don't know. They would not let people on that roof because the Secret Service said it was sloped and it was dangerous, but the snipers that were on the other roof was actually at a steeper pitch. Random people saw him and pointed him out on the roof with a gun before it happened. Also, the guy had five phones. The body immediately cremated. Now, all of this may be perfectly quiet. There may be simple explanations for all of these things, but it's how is it that we don't have any information about this guy? None. It's very similar to what happened with TPUSA. So to answer your question, yeah, I'm just very suspicious about all of this. And as a journalist, you're always, that's sort of in your training. That's in your DNA that you always trust, but you verify. And we're not getting a lot of verification, and that's that. All right. We've got Mike back. And so, Mike, I hope that answered your question. But again, I say trust but verify. But there's a lot of weird stuff going on between, you know, not only Charlie, but also the attack on President Trump.
Right. But you asked me about where I was going, my question, and what I was going to tell you was Sam Giancana, the Chicago outfit mob boss of the 50s and 60s. He said, if you ever want to know who is responsible for the hit, look at who it benefits the most. So with that in mind, I'm not saying that anyone in TPUSA, security detail, I'm not pointing a finger at them. What I'm saying is, could someone or group whatever got Charlie out of the way to make room for someone else, and now that someone else would be the one that, you know, picks up the mantle and gets the TP endorsement? In other words, could they have maneuvered him into that position?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. That was an organization, and I know this may bother some folks. The entire Turning Point USA organization was built around one person, and that person was Charlie Kirk. And that's why nobody else is really, I mean, and Mike, if you've been following all of the rallies and things, nobody's really standing up to be that next Charlie Kirk. So I'm not sure how long TPUSA is actually going to be able to survive down the road. I'm talking, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road. Will they still be a viable, you know, as viable as they are now? I don't know. It's going to be tough because they've got to figure out who their leader is. And right now, nobody's leading that organization.
Well, no one's going to fill Charlie's shoes because he was beyond politics. He was in the changing hearts and minds of young people. That's what he was all about.
We shall see, Mike. But it is very suspicious. And the fact that, you know, the FBI has been all over the place, you know, they've had suspects and they didn't have suspects, you know, Cash Patel rushing out there is all just very, very odd. We'll try. Hopefully we're going to get to the bottom of it, but I suspect we're going to have another Lee Harvey Oswald situation on our hands. Mike, thank you for calling back. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. Tamara is listening to us on KYKN, wants to talk grocery prices. All right, Tamara, what you got for us?
Yeah, let's go a little bit lighter. I'm not noticing grocery prices going down a whole lot here in Salem, and I think that's partly because our communist dictator governor and our gas prices. But what I am seeing is the stores are offering amazing deals occasionally. I still find $7 eggs, but every once in a while, $2.
Oh,
so that's
wow.
It seems like, you know, they give you a little bit to keep it coming in.
I'm just curious here, like for Thanksgiving, what does a Thanksgiving feast cost these days?
Oh, let's see. I've split it up for several years, but I would say $70, $80 is easy. If you're going to like a big chain store, but there are some special deals where, you know, you spend $125 and you get a free 15-pound turkey. So, yeah, but it's not cheap.
Is it bad? Is it wrong for me, Tamara? I'm just kind of confessing my soul here. If just humor me for a moment. Is it bad that I'm not a turkey guy? I'm just not a big fan of turkey.
Well, no, we've had ham for several years, too. But a good ham is going to be run you $25, $30. So.
Well, good. I'm glad. I just wanted to make sure that didn't make me like a bad person or un-American, you know, because
have whatever you want.
Oh, well, if that's the case. You know, it's interesting. Target actually is putting out a huge thing. They're cutting cost on thousands of food items, and they're saying that a holiday meal, I'm just reading this from USA Today, as businesses are promising lower prices, including Target, with a holiday meal for four people that costs less than $20 before taxes.
Well, you don't get leftovers.
Oh, that's true. I will say this, though. One of the best things I have ever had is, I did enjoy the turkey on this. It's a turkey sandwich with leftover cornbread dressing or stuffing, and then a cranberry relish with mayonnaise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good eating right there. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, and a Baptist martini with it.
Oh, absolutely. Or a Dr. Pepper. You know, it's the holidays. You got to splurge. The doctor makes it healthy, so. All right. Well, Tamara, happy shopping to you out there, and a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. Great lady there. Oh, my goodness. All right. We got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. Yeah, how are the prices in your local supermarket? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's go to the phones. Manny, the trunk driver, joining us. Hi, Manny, what's going on?
I just wanted to ask, how you doing, Todd?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Listen to you all the time. I'm a professional truck driver. I've talked to you before, you know, and it burns my behind when people call in and they put, you know, citizens of this country, you know, saying, like that gentleman said earlier, you know, that, you know, they're too lazy, you don't want to work, and you got to bring all these foreigners, all these illegal aliens and what have you. You know, that is the problem. I'm a professional truck driver, like I just mentioned. I've been doing this for 40 years. I'm 65 years old, and I'm still out here driving, okay? I mean, can't retire, you know. And the reason I called in is that it has to do with the wages. You bring out all these foreigners, illegal or legal, doesn't matter, and that lowers the wages, you know. That is 100% what happened. What do you think?
Well, no, I completely agree with you. That's why they're doing it, is that these big businesses know that they're going to be able to replace these hardworking, qualified American workers with cheap foreign labor. And I was pretty clear about that yesterday. And again, I do believe there is a segment of the population that is lazy. But when you're looking at the numbers of kids graduating with college degrees and 60% are having a hard time finding jobs, that's a big problem. And that has nothing to do with laziness.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing too is with this institutions of higher learning, as they're called, you know, a lot of them are being fed a bunch of, you know what, and they get into debt. Now, let me ask you this question. Why don't they just join the military? Military would pay for everything. But, you know, the problem we have in this country now, a lot of these young kids, they don't want to join the military.
Yeah.
You know? Because,
fair enough. It's fair. Manny, it's a great point. I don't mean to cut you off, but the computer is going to cut both of us off. But, Manny, it's a great point you bring up. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Dylan, I was watching a video during the break, and I thought about sending it to you, but there must have been 75, 80 words that would have had to have been bleeped out.
Well, I appreciate that.
So this was a video, and our friends at KWAM Radio, which is our flagship station, KWAMRadio.com. Dylan, you got to go to KWAMRadio.com right now and watch this video. It was, you had big gals fist fighting inside a Walmart in Jackson, Tennessee. I'm just shocked. You good people in Jackson, I thought y'all were good church-going people. But, I mean, they were throwing fist and fruit. And these are some big old girls. I think the only thing that I found interesting or unusual is normally these kinds of fights, they happen around, like, the unhealthy food section, like the Ho-Hos, the Little Debbie snack foods. Normally not in the, you know what I'm talking
can't
about?
Can't be over the apples that they're right beside.
No, you can't.
Couldn't have been.
Are they throwing bananas or corn?
I see
can't
a couple
tell.
Things, yeah.
Yeah, I can't tell what that is on the ground. But anyway, we would love for you to go. If you just need, it's really not, I mean, it is sort of funny. It's just funny. But wow, people behave like this. In Jackson, Tennessee, I am shocked, I say, shocked. Jeez, Lou. You like the headline? It's a great headline.
Very clever. Very nice.
KWAMRadio.com, ladies and gentlemen, and to read the story, you'll see the photo as well. We tried to blur the crack because there was a lot of butt crack showing. Big gals rumble in Walmart produce aisle. Let's bring in our good buddy from Santa Clarita, California, Joe Messina. Joe, do you guys, by the way, Joe, a nationally syndicated talk radio host. Joe, do you guys have the Walmarts down in California?
Oh, yeah. But interesting, you were talking about snacks, and then you went over to talking about the women. Women, big women. So I don't know. I'm confused.
Yeah, these are burly girls, big bones girls. I'm just trying to be as polite as humanly possible here.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, it's just crazy. But, you know, and again, I think with Snap, people are hungry, and maybe somebody wanted an apple, and it was the last apple, and maybe, I don't know what set them off. I don't know.
Well, we've got those big super Walmart stores, you know, and you see them. And they're even here, you know the area I live in, even here you see some people that are dressed interestingly. How's that?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, You walk in, and I'm just going to say this, but the same thing is at Buc-ee's. If you walk into a Buc-ee's, it's kind of like Walmart after hours. You know, you don't know what you're going to get, but you should be armed at all times.
Oh, God.
Joe.
I can't imagine. Go ahead.
No, the so there's an interesting story up. We understand from the government that they are so fed up with all of the abuse in the SNAP program, they're basically going to force everybody to reapply. Honestly, I think this is the best idea I've heard coming out of Washington in a long time. What say you?
Well, praise God. How's that to start with? Yeah, I totally agree with it, having to redo these things. You know, you know that we do research for these stories. I do research for the stories I do on SNAP and welfare. There are so many people gaming the system and people that have been on it. You know, remember, it's only to help out. And yet we have people that have been on it 10, 12, 15 years. They have 8 or 9 kids. You know, again, this is just out of control. I totally agree with you and others. And we don't mind as Christians. I don't mind helping somebody out for a short period of time, maybe help them get retrained in a different job or what have you, help them in their situation. And frankly, Todd, churches need to step up too. They really need to step up in helping families that truly need help.
Did you see the video? If you saw this video, some woke lesbian, pro-abortion lesbian, BLMer, has been calling up churches and pretending that she's got a baby that hasn't been fed in like 3 days or something. And it's a quiz. She's testing the churches to see if they'll give her baby formula. And it's shocking the number of churches that said no. And that's, you know, that's the thing. But look, a lot of these churches get scam calls all the time. I'm not sure what to, but anyway, people are having a field day with this stuff.
Oh, listen, isn't it interesting, though, that when a Christian organization, I'll call the church a Christian organization, when we have an issue or a problem and we don't step up to where they want us to be, it is like the end of the world. We should all be re-crucified again or something. Yet, when the left has an organization like Planned Parenthood, well, they, you know, they don't really do late-term abortions, except when you call them and ask them, right? It's just amazing, and you hear nothing about it. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, you're absolutely right about that. And for, you know, I just know a lot of churches that do a lot of good, and yep, they never ask for credit. They never, you know, they don't want to promote it. It's just what they do. And I've got no problem with that. So, you know, but again, you know, churches have to protect themselves from these scammers.
Yeah. You know, Todd, there's a church near me that they have a weekend event called monthly event. I'm sorry, called Lordstrom's, where you come in, you listen to a 20-minute, 30-minute sermon, and then you go get your groceries, and then they have a clothing area where you can get clothes for your kids, yourself, whatever you need. So it's like a 3-hour event on a Saturday, but everybody, you know, they get fed spiritually, they get fed physically, and they get clothes to put on their back. So there's a lot of great things, to your point, going on in these churches that you just don't hear about.
No, it's true, and we ought to be celebrating that. There was a church that I went to for many years in New York City, and they did a really neat ministry to this local women's shelter where they would house these abused women, and they were, you know, had a safe place. And so the church would actually rent out like a the Sephora, which is the makeup store. And they actually held just a night of just pampering these ladies, you know, giving them makeovers and facials and food and, you know, just making them feel special. And, you know, again, churches are doing this kind of stuff all over the country. And, you know, they're not getting credit for it. And I don't think they want credit for it. It's just part, it's a ministry of the congregation.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of things that you do and I do and my friends do. We don't want credit for it. We're just doing what we were called to do. And the churches are doing what they were called to do. It shouldn't be a look at me, you know, scenario. Anyhow, you do it, the love you have for Christ and that Christ has for his people. That's why we're doing these kind of things. At least that's what I believe.
Joe Messina joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Santa Clarita, California. I got a question for you. I don't mean to give you a pop quiz, Joe. But it's pop quiz
Google.
Time. What is, this is not a trick question, by the way. What is 7 plus 2?
I would say 9, but probably the wrong answer.
No, it is the right answer.
Oh,
no,
it is?
Yo,
God,
that's the right answer. 7 plus 2.
I went to
9.
Public school. I was worried.
Well, if you went, well, this is a problem because the University of California, San Diego, I said San Diego. Stop, Dylan's laughing.
You become Spanish now. Samuel.
No, no. I watch. It's from Anchorman. Have you ever seen that movie, Joe Messina, Anchorman?
I can't say.
So, well, anyway, it's a Will Ferrell comedy, and Dylan will find the clip. We'll play it before we wrap up. But anyway, Will Ferrell's character is an Anchorman in San Diego, but he calls it San Diego. He says it means whale's vagina. So,
oh, that's, oh God.
Anyway. I'm off base here, but let me get back to the story. So the University of California at San Diego, their math department, they gave a test to 138 students in a remedial math class. So these are what, 18, 19, I guess 20-year-old kids, all right?
Yep.
25% of them got that question wrong. How is that humanly possible for a child, an adult in America with a working brain? How do they not know that 7 plus 2 equals 9?
Well, my first comment is, Lord, what are you waiting for? Look what we're doing to ourselves. Number two is, here in California, about 60% of the kids that graduate high school need remedial reading, remedial math. Okay, this is a true statement. And a lot of the colleges here, the community colleges, offer those classes before they go on to a university. They did away with the exit exam in high school, I think it was almost a decade ago. Instead of giving the teachers more tools to work with the kids, instead of helping the kids and pulling them up, they did away with the exit exam because they didn't want the kids to feel bad about where they were at in their education life. And they were given the exit exam in 10th grade. You had 2 more years to go to get things right. So we almost don't know what these kids are graduating, what knowledge they have when they leave. It's very scary here in California.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Messina is not speaking out the wazoo. We've got the data to back you up here, Joe, but because according to UC San Diego, the numbers of students needing remedial math went from 1 out of every 100 students to 1 out of every 8 students.
Yep. Look, my school district is considered one of the best. You know, it's in the top 15 or 20 here in California. And 47, and I'm going to get slapped for this later, but 47% of our kids are at math proficiency in the 12th grade. 47%. And they're excited about that, Todd. They think that they're like, oh, that's wonderful. We've come so far since COVID. Give me a break. Will you please?
This is insane. But again, it goes back to something that President Trump said, and I disagreed with the president on this. You know, the president saying that we don't have the talent needed for some jobs. I would contend as a patriot that, you know, we can do anything. But if we've got a generation of kids that can't add up 2 plus 2, we're screwed.
Well, Todd, you know I'm in education here in California, and there are a lot of good conservative teachers. And I wish they would just grab their strength, come together and do what they know they can do. They love the kids. They want to teach the kids. But the left is consistently on their case for achieving, for doing well, believe it or not. So if you really care about the kids, it's almost a joke line now, as far as I'm concerned, when they say, oh, we're doing it for the kids. No, you're not. You're doing it to make yourselves look good while you keep lowering the score, you know, the expectations of these kids. But if our people would come out, if they really would push and get strong together, you would see this change. You would see the education world change, but the Dems have a stronghold on it.
Well, it's got to get fixed. And again, we've been watching the dumbing down of our society for the past decade or so. And now the poor kids can't even, you know, figure out if they need to use the bathroom or a litter box. I mean, it's just outrageous.
Let me put a bug in your ear. And you can call me crazy or conspiratorial if you want to. But, you know, you think about the days of Jim Crow, right? It was against the law to teach a black person, a black family, how to read, to educate them in any way. They knew that would help them get out of the situation they were in. They would have some power to push back with. We've been doing this for 30 or 40 years in the education world. If we dumb down society to the point where they are dependent on the government, they will have no choice but to depend on the government because they won't know any better.
I think that was the plan all along, just to dumb down our society. And again, a stupid population is an easier population to control, and that is a frightening thing.
Yep.
All right, Agreed. Joe, I want to play something for you, Joe.
Uh-oh.
All right, Dylan.
It's a fact. It's the greatest city in the history of mankind. Discovered by the Germans in 1904, they named it San Diego, which, of course, in German means a whale's vagina.
You're a smarter
you watched
man
this
now.
Movie, Todd?
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And you know why, Joe Messina? Because it is shockingly very similar to the reality of many TV studios in America. I'm just saying.
Okay.
All right. Joe all Messina, right. Ladies and gentlemen.
I got nothing. I know. God bless, guys. Have a great
take care.
Weekend.
Thanks, Joe. All right. Appreciate it. Dylan, have you watched that movie?
I love Anchorman.
Isn't that great?
It's like right up my alley in terms of humor-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, stuff that's not supposed to be funny is funny.
So that was back in the 70s. Late 80s, I was working in some of those TV newsrooms, and it was very much everything you saw was pretty much the way it was, including the fights. I mean, you'd literally have fist fights.
Yeah, the teleprompter scene's probably my favorite. Anything you put on the teleprompter, he will read.
He will read. Good day.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Let's go to Tom. Let's go to Tom in Houston, Texas. Patriot Talk 920. A lot of Texas callers today. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Hello there. How y'all doing?
Well, yeah, pretty good, man. We're just hanging out.
Well, all right. I heard the lady speaking about the prices of stuff, you know? And here in Houston, Texas, I can go to my local Kroger this week, and I get 18 eggs for $1.99.
How many 18 eggs for $1.99?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And I buy my gas at a Murphy gas station, which is tied in on the Walmart parking lot. I'm a local shelf owned by Walmart or not, but they used to be Murphy. And I got gas at $2.27 a gallon.
Is that right? So, wow.
I think we need to do a little better shopping for what we need.
You know, Tom, you're right. I know my mom was like the queen of coupon clippers back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That's back when, people had newspapers.
Well, I'll tell you this, Todd. Maybe you remember the Kroger's. They used to do triple coupons on Wednesday. And this particular day, I would clip my coupons, too. But once you hit a 39-cent coupon, well, then they went on to double it. So I had all my coupons lined up. I bought $113 worth of groceries. I walked out paying $38.
Get out of here. Tom, that's amazing. You know, Tom.
With the triples and the double coupons, I was killing it, baby.
Tom, you could set up like a side hustle by offering to be like a personal grocery shopper for people and getting them the great discounts.
Oh, my. And look, if you got a minute, you want to talk about Memphis for a second?
I've got about 30 seconds.
Okay. I used to come to Memphis yearly for the International Blues Competition. Comes in January. And last time I was there, the crime was so bad, I scared me, you know, and I ain't been back since. But the 2 years before my last year, I think it was in 2018, I rode the trolley downtown, and these nice guys, dressed guys came on looking onto the trolley. Turns out they were Memphis cops, detectives. And I told them where I was staying, the hotel across the river in West Memphis. And he says, man, he says, the cop says, Memphis ain't the best place, but West Memphis is the wild, wild west.
So yes, it is. Let me say this, Tom, and we've got a skedaddle here for a quick break, but thank you for calling. Let me say this. Memphis has been literally revolutionized. They announced yesterday the overall crime rate, overall crime in Memphis is down 50% in just 1 month, thanks to the National Guard being here. It is a completely different city. And Tom, you've got to come to the next International Blues Festival. It is now safe to bring your families to Memphis, Tennessee. And I am so happy to say that. All right, we've got to take a break. We'll be right back. Oh, boy. And we got some haters. Dylan, some women coming after me. They're very upset over how I described the women in the Walmart there. A woman named Karen Turd Marshall. Turk. Karen Turk Marshall. My apologies, ma'am. I have my reading glasses. Tons, are you really criticizing big-boned women? You better look in the mirror there, hoss. Well, Karen, let me just say, on second thought, maybe I should have called them lard asses. I don't know. Maybe. Oh, she responded to that. Oh, pot meets kettle. Wow. Yeah, but at least I'm not acting the fool in a Walmart in Jackson, Tennessee, ma'am. Jeez, hello. All right, if you want to watch that video, go to kwamradio.com. It's rather entertaining to watch, kwamradio.com. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We're heading right to your phone calls coming up after this break.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was talking over the break with some of the team here, and these numbers that have just come out are just remarkable, where you've got overall crime in Memphis down 50% in just a month. That is the power of having law enforcement boots on the ground, arresting people. Thousands of people are being arrested. It's just unbelievable when you see the change that has happened here in this beautiful city. And I am telling you, it is now safe to bring your family on a vacation to Memphis. It's now safe for you to come and to vacation in this beautiful city. And I'm very happy to be able to say that, because there are exciting things happening here. Let me say this. Last year, I think it was 14,000 cars were stolen in Memphis. Now we understand car thefts are down like 70-80%. Just unbelievable. So all that to say, it's a brand new day in Memphis, and I'm just excited about it, which is why I'm really excited to talk to Scott, who's calling from Gainesville, Georgia. Scott, I understand you're coming to our great city.
Yes, sir. My wife and I, we're retired, and that'll be our first trip. So maybe you can give us some tips on where to stay, what to see, and a couple of good barbecue places.
Okay, I think I can handle this assignment. And Dylan, you may need to chime in here. But also our Memphis listeners, if you guys have some recommendations for Scott, he and his wife retired, coming into the city, maybe some ideas, some things that they could do. Now, Scott, I would recommend staying at the Peabody Hotel. Have you ever been to the Peabody?
No, sir.
Well, let me tell you about the Peabody. It's the Grand Hotel of the South, and you're going to be able to get a great room. It's right off of Beale Street. It's right across from the AutoZone ballpark, and they have the duck march. Every day they march ducks down from the roof, And then the ducks end up floating around in a beautiful fountain in the middle of the lobby for the rest of the day. It's really kind of a cool Memphis thing to see. But I would definitely stay at the Peabody. It's a fine hotel, and you're going to love it. It's also where that lobby is where Elvis Presley signed his first recording contract, on the back of a napkin, a Peabody Hotel napkin.
That sounds pretty good. We thought about going to stay in Graceland, so you know, that might be one of our trips, day trips. You know, go check.
Got to do that. And Scott, you're going to love what they've done with Graceland. It's just unbelievable. It's sort of like a whole Universal Studios experience tour. So, you know, you're going to get the house tour, but you're going to get so much more than that. You're going to love that.
Sounds great.
All right.
So
now,
we'll get barbecue.
Oh, geez, Alou. All right, you're putting me on the spot here. You know, I'm going to make half the city mad at me here, Scott.
I've never had Memphis, but, you know, I'm used to Carolina barbecue, North Georgia barbecue. You know, you mentioned Smokehouse when you lived around here, but they've closed down. So I'm used to this area, but I've never really had Memphis barbecue. So I'm interested to try some stuff.
Okay. I am going to open this up to our callers, our Memphis audience, and give them a chance to give out their favorite barbecue joint. But here are mine in no particular order. There's a place called Central Barbecue. And I would recommend going to the one. There's one downtown over by the Civil Rights Museum, and it's a fun place, and they have great barbecue, and the sides are unbelievable. Central Barbecue. Now, Central Barbecue, and then there's another one called Rendezvous, which is directly across from the Peabody Hotel, and it's in a basement. And a lot of people love Rendezvous, and I like it. It's just not, you know, my favorite is Central Barbecue.
Sounds great.
Now, if you're feeling adventurous, do you carry, Scott, by any chance?
No, sir, but I am prime military, so I'm pretty familiar with, you know, looking around my surroundings and kind of judging where I go, you know?
Oh, no, the only reason I ask is there's another one. It's sort of hole-in-the-wall-ish. It's called Tops Barbecue. It's great chopped pork sandwich, but you need a gun if you're going in, you know, just to be on the safe side. But it's
Did
a great
I meet one at the door.
It's a great sandwich.
You know, rent one, take it in with me.
Well, you know, you can always swing by KWAM, you know, our affiliate here. We've got a lot of Second Amendment enthusiasts on our staff, so
yeah.
We'll get you covered.
Well, I love your show. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks. And Scott, if you do come by, drop by. We love it when our listeners come through Memphis and let us know, and we'd love to say hello to you.
I sure would, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Safe travels. Well, that's exciting. Dylan, most people are like, when they hit the Memphis city limits, they hit the gas.
Yeah, they drive right past.
Right past.
A lot of stuff in Memphis. Vast blues history. Music is like one of the best parts of this place. So.
The music scene.
Yes. You got to go to Stax. Got to go to Sun Records. Beale Street obviously has plenty of music going on. So.
Oh, yeah. Our good buddy Jim LaSampio, who is a big restaurant owner, he owns a number of places there on Beale Street, including Rum Boogie, which is a lot of fun.
That sounds fun to go to.
Yeah.
Rum Boogie.
Great music. Great music scene all over the city.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think what else. Of course, you got to check out the Bass Pro Shop, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that, Bass Pro. And check out the bridge. I mean, obviously, if you're going to Bass Pro, you'll see the bridge, but...
Now, one of the cool things you can do if you're, you know, inclined, athletically inclined, is that you can rent bicycles or you can actually walk across the old Mississippi River Bridge, which is really just we're right in sort of the curve of the river, which makes it a really beautiful, it's really a beautiful walk over the Mississippi River.
Yeah, I've gotten to do that at least once in my life. It's really fun. That was back when I was more bike riding fit, but, it's still fun to do.
Folks Folly is a great steakhouse, yes. A Memphis steakhouse, one of the best in the nation. And may I just put a plug in for a place called The Commissary in Germantown, Tennessee. That is a wonderful place for great ribs. They have one of the best burgers in America. And the banana pudding, I will fight you to the death over the banana pudding. It's that good.
So. Blue City Cafe on Beale Street.
Yes.
You have to go at 2 a.m., unfortunately.
Yes, you do.
But you'll find one of the best like barbecue nacho fries you'll ever have in your life.
Remember, we went, oh my gosh, Robin Poffman was with us, Ben Dieter.
Yes.
We were there like about 2 o'clock in the morning, and some deranged homeless guy like lunges at poor Robin, and she was ready to go full New York City Bronx on that guy.
It's part of the experience.
She was terrified, but I think he was more scared of her.
Probably.
we got to remind Robin of that. The next time, I forgot about that story. That was a lot of fun hanging out with the crew there on Beale in the wee hours. I don't do that much these days. I'm more docile.
I feel like I'm getting older. I don't know what's happening to me.
You are getting older.
I don't go partying or anything. I just stay at home.
Really?
Yeah.
But you haven't been doing the grocery shopping yet.
I haven't. Right. I haven't like leveled up, but I have stayed home.
When you start clipping coupons.
Yeah. I got to get to that point sometime.
All right. 901-260-5926. Any of our Memphis listeners have some suggestions for folks coming to town? You know, they should pay us. The tourism department should pay us for that segment. We did a great job. I get nasty messages from those folks. Nobody's coming to our city because of you. You're always talking about crime. Well, I mean, you know, make it fun and adventurous.
Now that the crime's down, we're happy to promote.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Oh, let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Patty wants to weigh in on Walmart. Hi, Patty. What's going on?
Well, my daughter's a manager there. I went there. I went yesterday. I wanted to get a turkey. So I was looking, and last year, no lie, Todd, it was $2.49 for a butterball turkey. Okay.
Really?
You know what it was this year?
What's that?
92 cents.
Get out of here! So they really are lowering the prices.
Yes, they are. And if people are saying different things, they're lying, because it is. I you know what I did too? My neighbor, he was doing my lawn while I was sick. I got him one too. So I got him a turkey. I got me a turkey. I got a bunch of other stuff. And my bill was $78.06.
Oh, okay. Is that good for you? I'm just asking.
I'm just saying, you know, last year, $2.49 a pound for Butterball.
Mm. And now it's just
92 cents.
Wow. Oh, that's huge. That's huge. So you've saved a lot of money this year.
Well, because I'm going to say something. You know, everybody's getting on Trump. Let me tell you something. Those tariffs, they're going to work. Todd, you and I are not stupid people. You watch in January. I know it's going to take a while. This guy has a lot to clean up. 4 years of a dirty diaper, okay?
It's true. What they had to do to fumigate that White House, God help us. That's going to be a story for the ages.
You know what? And let me tell you something. In January, you watch what happens. I believe everything's good, but those tariffs are going to kick in, and these people are not going to know what the hell hit them, because I'm telling you, I still believe in him. He knows what he's talking about. He's not a stupid guy. It's just taking him. Todd, I hate when people put him down. I really do, because he don't need this job. They just say, you know what? Me and Melania are going off somewhere. I don't need you. You know what? He loves this country, Todd. You know that.
Oh, of course. And look, a lot of this has nothing to do with Donald Trump at all. It has everything to do with the messaging coming out of the White House. That's where the issue is. And they've just got to prepare people. You know, we have to, again, based on the numbers we just shared from UC San Diego, we got a bunch of stupid people coming out of these colleges. So they don't understand that the economy isn't just fixed overnight. It takes time. And so we just have to reconfigure our messaging to make sure that people understand that.
Right. And that's what the tariffs, I mean, people say, oh, you know, and I hope SCOTUS, I hope they go with him. I hope they don't go against him. Do you think they're going to go against him?
I think if the economy is booming by the midterms, I think people forget all about all this stuff, and it's going to be just fine. And I think the president is, you know, I think the president is going to be able to help the Republicans, you know, maintain their control of the House. Definitely the Senate. House is a little iffy right now, but I think we're going to be okay.
But you know nothing, too? Could I mention before I go?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say something. Everybody's saying, oh, you hear these Hakeem Jeffries and these other idiots. Oh, we won Jersey. We won Virginia. You want in blue states. It's not like they want in like Texas or Florida or Georgia.
No, look, you're absolutely right about that, and that is a very valid point. And it was a strange election, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to. I'm not sure there is a one national takeaway other than the House of Delegates in Virginia, where the Republicans were pretty much decimated. That raises a red flag to me, and it tells me that for whatever reason, Republicans, they just weren't motivated to get out and vote. And look, we can't. It's not Trump's fault if the Republicans are going to stay home and not vote. That's on the party, and that's on the individual voters. That's not on Donald Trump.
You think if he was on the ticket, it would have been a whole different story.
Yeah, but Trump can't always be on the ticket. I do think it would have been a different story. I sure do. But so we've got to figure that out as a party, Patty. That's what we've got to do. Patty, I've got to run. It's great hearing from you. Congratulations on the savings there at Walmart. 901-260-5926. It's Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. Again, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hope you're having a great day. By the way, it is Open Line Friday. You can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about, or you can ask whatever question you'd like to ask. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Well, the National Guard apparently showing up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this woman is very, very upset about that.
We have a little man sitting in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue who really believes that Hitler was the greatest man ever on earth, whose whole vision is to be just like Hitler, and is trying to create a 1940s Germany right here in the United States. And like then, many people said, well, it's them, it's not me.
So this woman is completely Looney Tunes here. Trump hasn't, as far as I know, Trump hasn't sent anybody off to any gas chambers. We're not shutting down businesses owned by Jews, are we? No, I don't think we are. So what is this woman talking about here? This is insanity. By the way, Charlotte, North Carolina, you guys have a massive, massive crime problem out there. I mean, it's almost as bad as it was here in Memphis. Of course, now Memphis is much safer than Charlotte, North Carolina. But what in the world? What kind of a statement is that? Just nonsense. By the way, J.D. Vance on Hannity last night talking about the future. Take a listen to the VP. Cut two.
I would say that I thought about what that moment might look like after the midterm elections, sure. But I also, whenever I think about that, I try to put it out of my head and remind myself the American people elected me to do a job right now, and my job is to do it. And if you start getting distracted and focused on what comes next, I think it actually makes you worse at the job that you have. And here's what will happen. I mean, look, we're very focused on the midterm elections. I think because what the president has set in motion is a long-term economic revitalization effort for this country, I really want us to win the midterms, because if the Democrats get in power, they're going to try to screw up a lot of the great things the president of the United States has done over the past 10 months. Again, trees that have been planted, some of which won't even bear fruit for a few years. I don't want the Democrats to screw that up. So we're going to win the midterms. We're going to do everything that we can to win the midterms. And then after that, I'm going to sit down with the president of the United States and talk to him about it. But let's focus on the now, because we've got well over a year to do as much as we can for the American people. And my attitude, Sean, is, look, if we do a good job, the politics will take care of itself. If we do a terrible job, the politics will take care of itself in the other direction. So I'm just going to focus on the job that I have.
Yeah, look, I think it's a pretty reasonable response to Hannity's question. A lot of people are beginning to wonder what's 2028 going to look like? And that will all depend on what happens in 2026. So I like J.D. Vance. I love Marco Rubio. And both of them have been doing a tremendous job. We will see. And I'm sure there are others out there that you like as well. I know that Brian Kemp, there's been some rumblings that Brian Kemp may be heading in that direction, possibly a presidential run. Maybe Glenn Youngkin, but what happened in Virginia may be a detriment to him there. So there are a lot of moving parts. We'll see how all this plays out. And, yeah, I do think that Charlie Kirk was probably looking at some sort of a presidential run in 2028 or perhaps the following election cycle. I believe that to be the case. All right, hang tight. Got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, you ever follow a guy named Dave Portnoy? You know, the pizza guy. He goes around trying the pizza. It's one slice, right?
One slice. Everybody knows the rules.
All right. One slice.
That's what he said. And then he takes like five bites.
So he was in Starkville, Mississippi, home of Mississippi State University. You heard the story?
Yes.
Some Yahoo, 20-year-old kid, Mississippi State student, walking by, and I guess he's recording. He was doing a pizza review at Bordentown Pizza and Pints in the Cotton District. Anyway, the kid hollered out at Portnoy, "Blank the Jews, blank you, Dave Portnoy," and then walked away. That's what he did. So, of course, it was all videoed, so it went viral. And Portnoy actually invited the guy to come in and have a conversation. I don't know what that was going to, but the guy, he chickened out. You know, he ran away. So they've arrested the kid. He's actually been charged with a crime, and he was he's posted bond, $2,500. The Starkville Police Department have charged him with a misdemeanor charge of disturbing the peace. Because he said, blank, the Jews. And they're saying that's a crime. Now, I want to read this statement from the police department, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. The Starkville Police Department issued a statement. Every person has the right to feel safe and respected in our community. Now, I will say that every person has the right to feel safe, but does every person have the right to be respected? That's the question I have. Are we now going to police respect in America? Is that where we're going with this? Now, I think it was a horrifying thing that the guy said. It's disgusting, no doubt about it. But does that rise to a crime? I mean, could the guy be charged with a hate crime? I mean, could this 20-year-old kid who's apparently left the school now. He's going to have to. I mean, he's been ostracized. But are we now saying that if you say something against Jewish people, that you pretty much your life is over as you know it? I mean, it was a stupid thing to say, a horrible thing to say. Is the guy an anti-Semite? I do not know. In May, a Temple University student was suspended and police investigated after Portnoy responded to videos showing an anti-Semitic sign that was displayed at the company's downtown Philadelphia bar. At least one student was involved with that. And it was the same slogan, blank the Jews. So anyway, I'm just curious because if the guy would have said blank the Christians, I don't think anybody would have been arrested. I don't think. So I'm just sort of curious here. Anyway, the kid's life is pretty much over as you know it, you know, as he knows it. And did not seem to hurt the ranking, though, of the pizza joint. Got 7.2 out of 10.
This is a pretty high ranking for him.
Yeah, not too
it's
bad.
It's like Michelin star almost.
The guy's particular, is it really?
Pretty much. He doesn't give anybody like anything above a 7.5 unless it's like the best pizza of all time.
Now, do you know the history of the Michelin star? Because, you know, that's a big thing in the restaurants, right? They want that Michelin star.
Yeah, I've recently heard about it, and I heard that it was kind of a joke at first, but then people took it so seriously that now it's like the most wanted thing in restaurant business.
No, no, no. It actually began as a way to boost tire sales. The Michelin tire company, right?
I don't think a lot of people know that Michelin star is actually from the Michelin tire company.
Yeah, they did that. They introduced a one-star rating for restaurants in 1926. It's a fascinating story. And the stars awarded by anonymous inspectors who evaluated the restaurants. And they wanted people, the whole point of this was to get people to travel to the restaurants, therefore wearing out their tires so they would have to buy new tires. It is a brilliant marketing concept. Well done. Well done, Michelin guy. All right, let's go to Missy in Georgia. And Missy in Georgia, I understand you have some ideas for Memphis activities.
Yes, I do, Todd. I'm originally from Memphis, but I live in Gainesville, Georgia now. Enjoy listening to your show.
Well, thank you.
And you're welcome. I was going to suggest the lobby of the Peabody Hotel and Rendezvous Rib.
Rendezvous is a fine choice. The Peabody, I love it. You know, during the pandemic, Missy, when I moved back home to Memphis, everything was shut down except that, well, the Peabody was closed, but they rented me a room, and I stayed at the Peabody Hotel for a good, I think, month or two months.
Oh, how nice. So you got to know the Ducks quite well, did you?
You know, I did, and that's the funny thing, Missy, because you would have thought they would have not walked the Ducks down, but the Ducks are all about routine. So even though nobody was in the hotel except for me, they would march the Ducks down every day like clockwork.
Yeah, I love the Peabody Hotel. My parents used to go there and dance, and my high school proms were there.
Well, they're still doing, to this day, Missy, they're still doing the rooftop dances, and it's really one of the most beautiful, you know, rooftops in the city.
So they're still having the bands on Thursday night?
Yep, still do the bands on Thursday night.
Yeah, that was a good time.
It may be up to our – it may not be our cup of tea, Missy, the bands.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
be out here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, life's changed.
A little bit's changed, but yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, Missy, don't be a stranger. Come on back to Memphis one of these days.
Well, I was there like a year ago, and anyway, I'm in Gainesville now, and I see your WDUN on the square all the time, and thank you. Think about y'all.
Well, we appreciate that. We love our friends at WDUN, and they've got a great, beautiful studio down there on the square. All right, Missy, you take care of yourself. Thank you for calling in. And those are two great recommendations, Scott. So you've got Peabody and you got Rendezvous. So there you go. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2, and millions of people are now watching Newsmax either on cable. They're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2. They're also downloading our free Newsmax app on smartphones and TVs. And Reuters now says we are one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night you can watch great shows. Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty, and it is a great network to be a part of. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You can get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes literally just, I don't know, seconds. And let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people. Dylan, what's up with Paul Feinbaum? What's he upset about now?
He's upset that Group of Five teams are making it to the playoffs in the first place.
So who does he think? So how does it work now? I think you know you've got what conferences? I know SEC.
Yes, you got ACC. You got those big conferences: SEC, ACC, Big Ten. The
Big
American
12.
Is really what he's talking about.
Oh, he's
about.
Talking about the American.
Specifically conference. South Florida. He's talking about teams like South Florida, Memphis, of course, and the fact that they shouldn't even be in question. He actually called them a triple A team to a Major League Baseball team.
Oh, jeez. That's not going to go well.
No.
You know, Feinbaum is actually from Memphis.
Yeah.
I ran into the, can I tell you my Paul Feinbaum story? Please. I ran into him in Atlanta. We were actually on the same flight together. And I didn't recognize him at first. And the reason why is dude had a face mask on. He was like one of those face mask people. Mm. And this was not during COVID. And I'm like, what's up with Paul Feinbaum? Why are you wearing a mask?
Maybe he didn't want people to know who
wearing
he was.
A face diaper. That may have been, but, you know, I don't know. There you go. All right. Thank you for that update. Let's go to the phone lines here. Georgia, Ellie is on the line. Hi, Ellie. What's going on?
Hi. I've never called into your radio station. I've been listening to you on while I'm in the car.
Wonderful.
The question I have is I saw on your listening to your radio, and I think it was on Finity on Newsmax, they were talking about minorities getting the welfare, about 40% of the welfare, if I'm accurate, right? Do you remember that comment or no?
I don't, and I can tell you that on this radio show, I have really stayed away from the race component to welfare, and primarily because it's not a factor. I mean, it's, I think a majority of people who get welfare are white people just by the sheer nature of the demographics of the country.
Okay, then I must have misunderstood. There was something on Finity, and you had mentioned something similar to that, but I can't remember exactly. So I apologize.
Oh, no. Look, I'm glad you called in, though. But, yeah, I've just always felt that there are people who genuinely need help from the government. No doubt about that. And that's the way, you know, the Bible tells us the poor will always be with us. The problem I have are all these able-bodied people that are going out there and they're taking advantage and they're abusing the system. Those are the ones I got a problem with. And I don't care if they're black, white, purple, or green.
No, I agree with you. I'm a believer and we need to take care of the poor. And I understand it. We were missionaries in Peru, so my dad took care of them very well. So.
Wonderful. Well, Ellie, you did a great job first time caller. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a copy of my new book, Star Spangled Blessings?
No, sir. I have heard you advertise it.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to give you a copy of that book. I'm going to send you a copy if that's okay.
Yes, sir. That would be great.
All right. Well, don't hang up. We're going to put you back on hold and we're going to get all your information. And guys, let's send her we'll send her a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings. Devotions for Patriots. All right. By the way, that is a great, great little book for a stocking stuffer. It fits right into your Christmas stocking. And we also have another companion devotional called Our Daily Biscuit. Everybody in the entire city of Gainesville, Georgia has that book. That was the largest book signing we had ever had. And Dylan, somebody brought me an entire plate full of homemade biscuits and a 5-pound slab of butter.
That's a love language right there.
My cardiologist was up in arms. He said, what are your fans trying to do? Kill you? What's going on here? They should bring you celery.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Don't do that.
I don't think so. Oh, by the way, MTG is jumping into the conversation now on the H-1B visas, and she is introducing legislation to completely abolish visas. Take a listen to Cut One.
My dear fellow Americans, I'm introducing a bill to completely eliminate the H-1B visa program, which has been riddled with fraud and abuse and has been displacing American workers for decades. There will only be one exemption in my bill, and it will allow for a $10,000 per year cap on visas issued to medical professionals like doctors and nurses who provide life-saving care to Americans. However, even this $10,000 per year cap will be phased out over 10 years to allow us time to build our own pipeline of American doctors and physicians. My bill will also restore the original intent of the visa, for it to be temporary. These visas were intended to fulfill a specialty occupational need at a given time. People should not be allowed to come and live here forever. We thank them for their expertise, but we also wish them well so they may return to their home country. My bill will take away the pathway to citizenship, forcing visa holders to return home when their visa expires. In order to build our pipeline of American doctors and medical professionals, my bill will also prohibit Medicare-funded residency programs from admitting non-citizen medical students into their programs. Just last year alone, there were over 9,000 doctors in the U.S. who graduated from medical school but were left without a residency placement. Meanwhile, in 2023 alone, there were over 5,000 foreign-born doctors who received residency spots. This is entirely unfair, and it's America last. My bill will help mitigate the shortage of doctors and nurses in our country, the shortage that we face, while at the same time serve as an off-ramp from our reliance on foreign workers by allowing us time to fill our residency programs with American doctors. Now, this will completely end the H-1B visa program in all other sectors in the job force and in the workforce. This is America first. It's time to put American citizens first instead of foreigners first. And this has gone on, and this has been an abuse for far too long. Americans deserve a future. They deserve a chance. And I believe Americans are the most talented people in the world, the most creative, and I want them to have their American dream. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think that statement is spot on. I find nothing at all objectionable about what MTG had to say, and I think it is a reasonable thing. Much like the SNAP program, where there's so much corruption. They're basically going to make everybody reapply for their benefits, so we can figure out who legitimately needs help and who are the grifters who just need to get out and get a job somewhere. That's what we need to do. By the way, the U.S. Catholic bishops has come out, and they're now condemning the Trump administration on the border policies as well as the immigration roundups. And all I can say is, I really don't care. I don't care what you think, Catholic bishops of America. As a matter of fact, I will say this. If you're so concerned about walls, why don't you go take a tour of Vatican City? And if you want to have that conversation, why don't you knock down your own walls before coming after us? I mean, in all seriousness, that's just outrageous. I know Tom Homan, the borders are pretty fired up about that as well. You know, as we, by the way, the new, I don't know if you guys are on X, but they changed the direct message. The DMs have changed now, and they've gone away. And it's insane. I don't know why they keep changing things that weren't broken to begin with. Ugh, good. I was going to read something to you, and I can't seem to access it now in my my messages. Jeez, Lou. Well, anyway. All right, coming up this weekend, if you are in the Memphis area, I have been invited to be a part of a really cool event. It's tomorrow evening in South Haven, Mississippi, at Grace View Church. It is hosted by the church as well as the Memphis Apologetics Group. It's called Charlie Kirk, The Bible and the Constitution, a Memphis Apologetics Group conference. And they've also invited a House representative from Mississippi, Dan Eubanks, who's just a tremendous, tremendous Republican conservative leader. He's going to be speaking. I will as well. And, of course, we'll be doing a book signing afterwards. And so we would love, if you want to take a break from college football, come on over and visit with us. That's tomorrow, 6 o'clock at the Grace View Church in South Haven, Mississippi. If you have questions, you can DM me on, don't DM me on X. I won't be able to get to you. You can send me a message on Facebook, and we'll try to get all that info. Folks, it's been a great, great week. Thank you. Again, happy Veterans Day. What a week to honor our veterans. Folks, get out there. Have a great Friday, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.